Very simply tonight, I want at the close of this gospel service to preach on the subject, Paul's positive statements. The positive statements of the Apostle Paul are far more numerous than we could mention tonight. When you consider what Paul said in the book of Acts, and also when you consider the epistles that he wrote in the New Testament, it would take a lifetime of preaching to consider all the positive statements that Paul uttered under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But this evening, I want to draw your attention to one line of thought concerning the positive statements of the Apostle Paul. I want you to consider what Paul said in relation to his knowledge of his salvation. As you study the writings of the Apostle Paul, you learn very quickly that Paul was a man who spoke positively about his own salvation. He did not use terms like maybe or hope so when he spoke of his redemption, but he always spoke dogmatically and confidently as one who knew his present and future spiritual standing before God. There's never a hint of doubt in any of Paul's statements concerning where and with whom he was going to spend eternity. There's never a hint of doubt in any of Paul's statements that the salvation that he had received was anything but glorious and true and everlasting. Sinner, tonight I want you to listen very carefully to this message. You're not saved tonight. Here is a message for you. And I pray that God will write his word upon your heart and upon your soul, because the confidence that Paul had, you can have. Indeed, the confidence that Paul had, you must have if you're ever going to get into heaven and if you're ever going to escape the flames of hell. I pray that the Lord will open up your heart tonight to see the truth of the gospel. And I pray that instead of leaving God's house this evening still in your sin, that you might leave God's house tonight redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, knowing that you are on your way to heaven. What did Paul know with confidence as far as his salvation was concerned? Well, first of all, I want to draw your attention to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Because in this portion of scripture we learn this, that Paul knew that Jesus Christ was his Savior. Take a look with me at verse 9 and 10 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul said this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now underline these words. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. There in that text of Scripture, Paul declares that the Lord Jesus Christ is his Savior. Now look at the latter part of verse 12. Paul said this, for I know, so he's coming here to make a positive statement. He's coming here to speak confidently. And this is what he says, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You see, not only did Paul preach that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Savior, not only did Paul preach that the Lord Jesus Christ was the only Savior, but Paul preached that the Lord Jesus Christ was his own and personal Savior. You see, Paul knew this only Savior as his Savior. Paul had made peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knew that he was saved by the grace of God. Paul had a personal faith in Christ. He had met the Lord, and the Lord had saved him. You see, men and women, salvation is personal. Knowing Christ is personal. Therefore, here's the question, and it's a very simple question, but I want you to consider this simple question at the close of this gospel service tonight. Do you know Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? When did you meet Christ? When did he become your Savior? You see, Paul could look back to a day in his life when the Lord Jesus became his Savior and his Redeemer. You know, I can say it tonight, like the Apostle Paul, that the Lord Jesus is my Savior. I can remember the day when he became my Savior. And what a glorious day it was. That day in my life, when I received God's salvation, the Son of God became my Redeemer, my friend, my Master, my Lord, and my God. Knowing Jesus Christ in a personal way is the great need of every sinner. And knowing Jesus Christ in a personal way is the greatest blessing that anyone in this world tonight can have. Do you have that blessing tonight? You come to church week by week. You enjoy the meetings. You sit under the sound of God's word. But can you say like Paul that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? Do you know that for certain? Well, here we have the testimony of a man. And he makes this positive statement. He makes this confident declaration that Jesus Christ is his Redeemer. In John 20, verse 28, Thomas, one of the disciples, said to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said this, "My Lord and my God." Can you say that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and your God? In Job 19, verse 25, Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Can you say that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Redeemer? In Psalm 23, verse 1, the psalmist could say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Can you say tonight that the Son of God is your shepherd? And in Psalm 28, verse 1, David said concerning the Lord, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock." Can you say that the Lord is your rock? My friend, only you can answer that question honestly within your heart this evening. But I want you to answer that question honestly within your heart tonight. Because it's so important that you have a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Indeed, it is imperative that you have a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Here we have the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to young Timothy. And as he writes to young Timothy, he makes this dogmatic statement. The Lord Jesus, Timothy, is our Savior. He's our Savior. Well, is he your Savior tonight? Is he? If he's not your Savior, then make sure that before you leave this service tonight, that you know him as Savior and Lord of your life. It's a positive statement. My friend, when you talk to people about their soul's salvation, the majority of people, they just hope that Jesus Christ is their Savior. They just hope that they're ready for death. They just hope that someday that all will be well with their soul. You need to know it. And the only way you can know it is by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart as your own and personal Redeemer. "For as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And Paul here dogmatically could say, "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Now that leads me on to the second positive statement concerning Paul's salvation that we want to consider tonight. Turn over a few pages to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And you'll notice that Paul knew something else confidently and dogmatically. Not only did he know that Jesus Christ was his Savior, but Paul knew that he was going to heaven and that he would never be in hell. Look what it says there in verse 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. "For I am now ready to be offered," Paul said, "and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Now verse 8, underline it in your Bible. "Henceforth there is laid up for me." He doesn't say there might be laid up for me. He doesn't say, well, there's a possibility that there's something laid up for me. No, he says, "There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." What a positive statement this is. Here Paul confidently declares just before he dies that he's going to heaven. Paul has this assurance. He knows in his heart that as soon as he takes his last breath upon this earth, for him it will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Paul knows that he's heaven bound. In Philippians 1 verse 23, a familiar text, Paul said, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Men and women, what a wonderful statement this is. Here we have a man who knew that he was on his way to heaven, and he knew that he would never be in hell forever and forever. Now just keep your hand in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And here's what Paul says. He says this, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath." In other words, God hath not appointed us to hell. Here's another positive statement in relation to where Paul was going to spend eternity. God hath not appointed us to wrath. God has not appointed me to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Here Paul confidently states that he will never receive the wrath of God in hell, but rather, when he dies, he will live with Christ in heaven forever. My friend, have you this confidence tonight? Have you this assurance? Do you possess this knowledge? Can you say like Paul, "When I die, I am going to heaven"? Can you say like Paul, "My soul will never be in hell"? What a solemn thought, to lose your soul in hell forever. And of course the Apostle Paul, as he preached, he warned men to flee from the wrath which was to come. He believed that there was such a place as hell, and he believed in the judgment of God. We have already seen that even in the course of these studies. But as far as Paul is concerned, here we have this individual, and he comes to make a confident statement concerning where he is going to spend eternity. And he dogmatically states, "I'm going to heaven." And he dogmatically states, "I'll never receive the wrath of God in hell." Why did Paul have this confidence and assurance? How did Paul know that he was heaven bound? Because of what Christ had accomplished on the cross for him. It's not what he says there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Underline it in your Bible. Verse 9 and 10 again. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but he has appointed us to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ." Why? How? "Because Christ has died for us," verse 10, "that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." You see, Paul was depending solely upon what the Lord Jesus Christ had accomplished for him on the place called Calvary. He was depending upon the finished work of the cross, depending upon the blood of the Lamb. Paul wasn't depending upon his good works to save him. Paul wasn't depending upon anything apart from the blood of the Lamb and apart from the sacrifice of Calvary. Paul's faith was in Jesus Christ. Paul's faith was in the finished work of Calvary. Paul was trusting in the substitutionary work of Christ on the cross. My friend, I know that I'm going to heaven, and I know that I'll never be in hell. And I have this knowledge and this assurance through the Lord Jesus Christ, who has died for me, who has shed his blood for me, who has saved me, and I am his child. Now, do you know that? Have you this assurance? Have you this confidence? Can you stand up in the pew that you're sitting on tonight and say, I'm on my way to heaven? If I was to die right now, I would never receive the wrath and the judgment of God in hell. Can you say that? My friend, if you can't say that, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong. You see, every Christian can truly say that they are redeemed not only for time, but for all of God's eternity. Every Christian can say, Jesus Christ is my Savior. Everyone that's saved can say, I'm on my way to heaven, and I'll never be lost in hell. But can you say that tonight? I want you to answer that question honestly in your own heart and soul. If you can't say that, if you haven't got that assurance, my friend, make sure tonight that you're saved. Make sure tonight that you're going to heaven. Make sure tonight that you're on your way to glory. Because you can know. Indeed, you must know this assurance that Paul had as far as his eternal destiny is concerned. You must have this knowledge as well. It was John who wrote those words in his epistle. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. Do you know tonight that ye have eternal life? You know, some people today would tell us that it's only presumption to say that you're going to heaven. And of course, that's what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. They teach that no one can know that they're going to heaven. No one can be sure before they die that they're going to be in heaven. They call it the sin of presumption. Well, friend, if that's the sin of presumption, then Paul committed the sin of presumption. And I'll tell you, somebody else that committed the sin of presumption, if it's the sin of presumption, John committed it. And Peter committed it, because Peter said that he was born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And all the apostles committed this sin of presumption, because they all had this confidence before they died that they were going to heaven and that they'd never be in hell. And even the Old Testament prophets, the Old Testament saints, they must have committed this sin of presumption as well, because they knew, like Job, that their Redeemer liveth. Oh, my friend, it's not presumptuous to say that you're going to heaven after being saved by the grace of God. I'm going to heaven because I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'll never be in hell because He is my Redeemer. He has forgiven me for my sins. He has cleansed me from my iniquity. Oh, the positive statements of the Apostle Paul concerning his salvation. Now, there's something else I want you to notice. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I want to say thirdly that Paul knew that Jesus Christ would come again the second time. Look what is said here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14. Here's Paul speaking. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. They underline those words. Paul believed that Jesus Christ was coming again. Unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now look at verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Many people today don't believe in the second coming of Christ. And yet here we have Paul making a dogmatic statement, a confidence statement. And he says this, the Lord will come again. Here is another positive statement by the Apostle Paul concerning his salvation and his future.
And in this positive statement, Paul confidently declares that Jesus Christ is coming again. And one of the reasons why the Savior is coming again is in order to bring his redeemed children home to glory. Christ is coming the second time to give his saints their eternal reward. And although when Christ comes again, this world will be judged for its sin. My friend, if you're a part of this world, when Jesus Christ comes again and you're not saved, then the Bible says you will receive the judgment and the wrath of God. That's what the Bible says. But as far as the saints of God are concerned, thank God, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns the second time, the saints of God will live forever with their Savior in glory. Oh, what a wonderful portion of Scripture this is. Look at verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Here we have Paul's dogmatic statement. Here we have Paul positively confirming that he will receive an eternal inheritance. And that eternal inheritance will be given to him at the second coming of Christ. All those who are alive upon this earth. Oh, child of God, what a glorious redemption we have. My friend, can you say this tonight? Can you say that Jesus Christ is coming again to bring you home to glory? Can you say with confidence that when Christ comes the second time, that you will be gathered with the saints in glory to live with Christ for all eternity? If you cannot, then come and make your peace with God tonight. Are these positive statements your positive statements? They're mine. Are they yours? That's the challenge in the gospel tonight that I want to leave with you at the close of this gospel service. Can you say, I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know that the Lord Jesus is my Redeemer. I know that I'm going to heaven. I know that I'll never be in hell. I know that Jesus Christ is coming back again to this earth to receive his saints home to glory. I know. My friend, that's what faith is. That's what faith is all about. And Paul here was speaking by faith. Now, his faith was based upon the Word of God. His confidence was in the Word of God. And that's where my confidence is in tonight. My confidence and my faith is based upon not only what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me upon the cross, but what the Lord Jesus Christ has promised me. My faith is in the words of Christ. You see, not only did the Lord Jesus die for me and shed his blood for me, and not only was he my substitute when he died upon the cross, not only did he take my sins away, but he promised me. He promises all those who are saved everlasting life. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of mine hand. Say to me, preacher, how do you know you're going to heaven? How do you know you're saved? How do you know that you'll never be in hell? Because of the Word of God and because of the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood takes my sins away, but his word takes my doubts away. And that's what Paul was trusting in and depending upon. And that's why he could stand up and declare God's word with confidence. Oh, sinner, tonight, we're not preaching the ideas of a church. We're not preaching the theology of a church even. We're not preaching the words of man. We're preaching the Word of God. And that's why we can stand up in this pulpit and preach it confidently. And we can preach it knowing that what we're preaching is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now what about your soul?
What are you depending upon for heaven? Where's your faith based? If you have any faith at all, what are you trusting in? Oh, you need to be trusting in Christ. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. If you were to come up into the pulpit, if you were to speak about your death and about your eternity, what would you say? Come on, friend, be honest. What would you say? I'll tell you what you would say if you're not saved. You would say, well, I'm not sure about where I'm going to spend eternity. I'm not sure if I'm ready for heaven. I'm not sure if Jesus Christ is my Savior. In fact, I know He's not my Savior. I'm not sure about whether I'll escape hell or not. I'm not sure, preacher. That's what you'd have to say. Indeed, if you were completely honest, you'd have to say, Mr. Gray, I know if I died now, I'd be lost forever. Because Jesus Christ is not my Savior. But you know, the wonderful truth is this, that even before this meeting goes out into eternity tonight, you can make sure. You can be sure. And you can leave this church tonight saying like Paul, with confidence, that you're on your way to heaven. There's coming a day when all the saved of earth will reign with Christ for all eternity. In Revelation chapter 5, let me just read you these wonderful words. Verse 8 to 12. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Oh, what a day it will be when the Lamb reigns forever and forever. My friend, don't listen to anyone that tells you that the Bible is not true. Don't listen to anyone that tells you that you don't need to be saved to get into heaven. Don't listen to anyone who tells you that there's not a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Don't listen to them, because they're lying to you. They're deceiving you. And of course, there are many false prophets today. Indeed, did not the Lord Jesus Christ prophesy before he left this earth, before he ascended back up into heaven, that prior to his second coming there would be false prophets arising, deceiving the people? There are many false prophets in this land today. But don't listen to them. Listen to what God says. Listen to what Jesus said. And Jesus said, ye must be born again. Oh, Paul's positive statements concerning his salvation. He knew that the Lord Jesus was his Savior. And he knew that he was going to heaven. And he knew that he would never be in hell. And he knew that someday the clouds would burst asunder, and that the Son of God would come again to receive the saints home to glory. My friend, is the knowledge that Paul had, is it your knowledge tonight? If it's not, make sure that you have this knowledge. And the only way you can have this knowledge is by accepting the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Let us all pray.